You may not know, we're in a six-week series called Not a Fan. Not a Fan. And last week, we talked about the difference between being a fan and a follower of Jesus. A fan, we defined last week as an enthusiastic admirer, whereas a follower of Jesus, is called to live the I am crucified with Christ life. Big difference. We talked about the need to have a DTR talk, define the relationship. Where am I at with Jesus these days? Always a good question, no matter how long you've been a Christ follower. Where am I at today with Jesus? And some of us in this room need to, you committed your life to Christ a long time ago, but this is a season of time where this question for you is very appropriate and needed. I invite you and ask you to let the Holy Spirit guide you as you let that unpack that question over these weeks here and hopefully in a small group. In the world of marketing, the promise of anyone can cash in on this deal is often put forward. Like a car dealership who says anyone, but really they mean anyone who passes the credit check. They don't really mean anyone, do they? There's often a catch. In Luke 9:23, Jesus said, if anyone wants to come after me, wants to come follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, which is a topic we're going to be dealing with more specifically 2 weeks from today, I believe that is. He must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. There's no catch with this, but there are, as we can see clearly, some commitments that he calls us to make. But still, when making the invitation to potential followers, Jesus invites anyone. So, anyone is welcome. When people hear Jesus say anyone, that they sometimes think, yeah, right. They think this, you know, what's the catch? Well, there's no catch, there's no small print, there's no hidden fees. It's just laid out clearly in that verse that we just read. But it's open to anyone. Anyone. You have to understand, to his society, Jesus was a rabbi. Homeless, unconventional, despised by some others, but a rabbi nonetheless, a teacher of God's Word, which at that time, of course, we know was the Old Testament. Rabbis had groups of Talmids. The word Talmid is translated disciple or student. And each rabbi had an exclusive group of students, kind of an inner circle that he mentored, really. For those wanting to become a Talmid of a particular rabbi, they had to go through an application process. First, there were pretty hefty prerequisites before even being considered. And suppose that these could be equivalent to a GPA and transcript prerequisites for getting into an elite college nowadays. The requirements were pretty high. Talmids had to have an impressive knowledge of the scripture. And a rabbi would quiz a prospective Talmid or student, asking them a variety of things. It could be asking that student to recite a whole book of the Old Testament, an entire book. Or tell me how many times the name of the Lord appears in Leviticus chapter 8 or whatever. It was an intense process. But rabbis had to be thorough because the excellence of the student reflected the excellence of the teacher. Oh, probably with some pride involved there at times. And so word was spreading about this rabbi, this amazing teacher named Jesus. In one occasion in the Gospels, you remember, many of you, it says that they were amazed at his teaching. He taught as one having authority, you think? Cool. Not everybody was open to that, we know. Amazing teacher, though, named Jesus. And then people saw who he called to follow him. Really? And they were probably confused in many cases. He picked what many would call nobodies. Those two used to be fishermen. Fishermen. A few of them are political hotheads. And that one guy, he's a dirty, rotten scoundrel. He's a tax collector. Wow. Matthew 9, verse 9, Jesus saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. He was engaged in that work, and he went up to him and he said, "Follow me." And Matthew got up and followed him. It's pretty amazing when you stop and think about that. The instant response. It's amazing. A lot of us wouldn't respond that quickly. But here, Matthew, there was a draw that was amazing. There was a sense of need. What was going on? And we don't know the pre-story in Matthew's life. God had probably been working on his heart for a long time. So when Jesus said anyone, he meant it. Roll the video. Thanks, James.
When Jesus said to Matthew, "Follow me," he was making it clear that his invitation to follow is not just for the religious elite or for the morally upright, for those who have their lives together. His invitation is for all of us who are hiding some stains. Jesus said, "Anyone who would come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Anyone. Anyone is a pretty inclusive word. Anyone can follow Jesus. Anyone who's ever thought to themselves, "I've gone too far, my stain is too big." Anyone who's ever laid awake at night and said, "I can't believe what I've done." Anyone who's ever looked in the mirror and said to themselves, "I can't believe what I've become." Anyone can follow.
When Jesus said that anyone was welcome, the crowds began to understand that that meant everyone was welcome. And anyone means everyone, which is the second point this morning. Anyone means everyone. Pretty basic stuff, isn't it? But here's the struggle sometimes. Though it's never said, Christians sometimes don't always buy into the idea that anyone can come, because that brings some challenges. That brings some discomfort. We kind of, like church safe. We like church the way it is at times, don't we? We usually prefer things to stay the same, and same soon becomes standard. And pretty soon a standard becomes a qualification if we're not careful. I think Jesus knew that's how things would go. Now, there are certainly, commitments to be made, decisions to be made when considering becoming a Jesus follower, but Jesus got rid of the qualifications. He got rid of the long list of prerequisites. He does away with the idea that you have to have your stuff together before you come to Jesus. Not so. John 3:16, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." Will not perish. That simply means just go into an eternal existence separate from God. Sure, the church says anyone is welcome, but when you look at how Christians in churches sometimes respond to newcomers who are different than they are, the message sometimes does not line up with the action, does it? In some churches, it becomes clear. I shouldn't say some churches. That sounds like I'm putting it off on us. No, this is for us. We need to be aware. But at times, it becomes clear that there are some qualifications. If you want to fit in, you better, you know, fill in the blank. Different things in different contexts, in different locations. We know that. But when Jesus said anyone, he eliminated the qualifications. He nullified the excuses even. And the excuses often more come from the person who is being invited or drawn to Jesus. Have you used excuses? Did you use excuses? Are you sitting here this morning holding on to an excuse as to why you can't come and truly follow Jesus and commit your life to him? Excuses. There's some who have been holding off on a relationship maybe with Jesus because they say, well, it's a really busy season of life. Is it because you're too busy putting the hours in, advancing the career? Is it too busy that you're doing something good, like focusing on your marriage, and that it just takes all my energy? Are you too busy because the kids need a lot of time and attention at this stage? Or is it because times are tough? You've taken a second job, or whatever. Others say it's because they've got a past that they're not proud of. Maybe they feel their past can't be forgiven. I ask you, based on the truth of God's word, to let that go. That is not a valid or biblically reasonable excuse. But some park there. And so the baggage from the addiction or the divorce or the bankruptcy or whatever it is has been an excuse for a long time. And it's easy to hide behind excuses. But Jesus gets rid of all the excuses when he invites anyone and everyone. Anyone is welcome to have a relationship with Jesus. Anyone. Sexual past? Doesn't matter. Can be forgiven, can be restored. Abortion can be restored, forgiven. You can be made whole because anyone is welcome and invited to come to Jesus who heals mind, soul, body, emotions, relationships, hearts. Ex-con, anyone. Current con, anyone. Legalistic person, anyone can come. Recently divorced, anyone can come. Alcoholic, addict, anyone can come. Hypocrite, anyone is invited to follow Jesus. Now we need to be ready for what can happen when we embrace the invitation to anyone. Because if anyone truly is invited to come and follow Christ and connect in the body, we may have to deal with some of our unwritten codes in church. Maybe pushed outside our comfort zone to embrace people from different backgrounds, different social circles, people have different music preferences, or people whose wardrobes confuse us or annoy us, or whatever it is. People who are hard to love. Really, is anyone and everyone? Really, Jesus? Yeah. Yeah. And if I'm claiming to be a Christ follower in the context of a body, my heart, like Jesus' arms and heart, also need to be wide open. And for some of you, that's not a challenge at all. It's just personality or God's work in your life or a combination of both. That's just not a problem. But for some of you, it is something that maybe the Holy Spirit needs to work on. Because followers, true followers of Jesus Christ, are willing to break down walls. They're ready and willing to trash the unwritten codes and truly welcome anyone and everyone, no matter their past, no matter where they're at. into the family of God as people commit to Christ. And I'm not saying that we, as Christ followers who follow the Word of God, you know, condone or tolerate willfully sinful lifestyles. No, don't hear that. I'm sure you're not hearing that, but just in case. Because when a person becomes a Christian, God wants to begin the work of transforming our character, our values, our way of living, our way of viewing life and eternity, all those things, of course. But that stuff does not have to be all tidied up before a person can surrender to Christ. And again, I think we all know that. Fans don't know, though, how to handle some of this. Fans prefer things to be shallow and comfortable. But followers are willing to listen to the stories of brokenness and sin and still welcome and embrace all people with open arms. And Jesus, our teacher, modeled this. And he was condemned for this and for associating and spending time with the down here and the people in society that were viewed, you know, the tax collectors, the sinners, the prostitutes. And so Jesus reminded the religious leaders in Mark 2:17. He said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. That's hard for some people to admit. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit, by the way, not yours, to convince them of that. Oh, we can direct them to what God's Word says, but that's the Holy Spirit's role. This next point is crucial to making sure that we help brand new Christians and longtime believers move into a completely committed relationship with Christ, and that is very simply, it's anyone, but it's everything. Jesus calls anyone and everyone, but anyone who comes, Jesus calls to surrender everything. When Jesus makes his invitation, he welcomes anyone who would come after him, but he also makes it clear that when we choose to follow him, we are giving up everything. Well, does that mean we're going to lose everything? No. We're just giving it over to his wise and loving control. And that's better. That's actually better because he's smarter than I am. And he loves me more than anybody. And he knows what's best. So this idea that giving everything about me, my life, my relationships, my money, my gifts and abilities, my future, my decisions, my everything. That does not have to be a scary thing. Because he loves you best. And he knows you most. When a Talmid student was finally accepted into a rabbi's school, they would leave their homes often. They would leave their jobs. Whatever was holding them back, they would go and they'd follow that rabbi. Literally, they would follow the rabbi wherever he went. You ever played follow the leader? Remember that as a kid? It's kind of like that. It's like what happened with James and John in Mark 1, like we read about Matthew. Well, in Mark 1, 19 to 20, when Jesus had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, out in the boat, preparing their nets of fishermen. You picked that up, didn't you? I didn't have to say that. Yeah. Without delay, the Bible says, without delay, Jesus called them, and they left their father, Zebedee, in the boat with the hired men and followed Jesus. I just try to imagine the conversations. That's all the Bible says. It doesn't say what the father says. Where are you going, you irresponsible? Not sure what they used back then, so I just kind of... What would the dad say? And then he realized they're actually going. Their direction in life is changing. Because Jesus called my sons to follow. What? To follow what? Come. Who's going to carry on the business? Get back. Get back. It's amazing. They just left. Jesus, they heard Jesus call. And some of you need to listen this morning. Because Jesus is calling your name. Maybe you're not a Christian. He's calling your name. Come follow me. Maybe you are a Christian, but there's areas of surrender. Jesus is calling to you. Everything. It's best. Everything surrendered to me is just the best way to do life. Listen to his call. If the rabbi decided to go to the market, his students would follow. If the rabbi decided to go to a different neighborhood for coffee at Hebrews, that's not mine. I just heard that somewhere. But if we have a coffee shop, that'd be a cool name. But if the rabbi went for coffee, if someone was a Starbucks guy, but a follower of a rabbi who was a Tim Hortons guy, he'd follow him into Tim Hortons and be eternally saved. No, just kidding. Thanks, Mariah. I love my daughter. Man, oh man, what a blessed dad I am to have a young adult daughter still laughing at dad's jokes. Life is good. If the rabbi, here's another one, was a Flames fan, and his student was an Oilers fan, he'd suppress that allegiance. That was the commitment to the rabbi. How much more that Jesus is worthy of that kind of surrender of everything. Everything. To follow the rabbi named Jesus would cost everything. Because if this rabbi decided to live without a home, which he did, his students followed. If the rabbi Jesus decided to spend lots of time with sinners and the shameful in society, which he did, students would follow. If the rabbi Jesus decided not to flee from persecution, his students would follow. And we know some of the story. They initially pushed back on this, but that's how it ended. Jesus' disciples, history tells us, ended by losing their lives in various ways because of their allegiance to Jesus. The greatest teacher who ever lived, who is God of very God, as the Nicene Creed puts it, offers you and me the invitation to come be one of his followers, one of his learners, one of his students, one of his children. To follow him in this life and into the next. Eternity is a long time. The God of the universe invites you into his eternal family by his grace through the work on the cross that Jesus came to do. And when he says anyone, he means everyone, with no qualifications, but with the guarantee that it will cost you everything. You ready for that? Some of you are all there already. We used the phrase last Sunday, all in. Some of you, many of you, I believe in this room, are truly all in. Are you willing to follow Jesus that way? He gave all for us. Why wouldn't we? He gave all to show his immense love for us. Why wouldn't we? I'm going to invite the worship team to come back and sing that At the Cross, Love Runs Red song in closing. And in these moments, I want you to reflect on this question on the screen. Are you ready? Are you willing to follow Jesus this way? All in, surrendering everything, heart, mind, soul, past and experience his grace and forgiveness and a new life, a new trajectory eternally. As we sing this song, I want you to just let the reality of what Jesus gave up for you sink in to your heart.